Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate. Kia ora and welcome back. We are again with our Muffin Talk here in Radio FM. And Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Every week I invite a visitor to me in the studio and we talk about our center, our programs, or about social justice. Our visitor today is Margaret Bowater. Thank you, Margaret, for coming here and a warm welcome to our radio program.
Thank you.
Margaret Bowater is a long experienced tutor, supervisor, dream facilitator, psychotherapist, and a co-founder of the Human Development and Training Institute. She's the author of Dreams and Visions, Language of the Spirit. And she's a member of the International Association for the Study of Dreams, a lifelong active Anglican and interested in strengthening people's inner resources for spiritual growth. That's quite a lot, Margaret. You're very active.
Yes.
And you will facilitate two upcoming workshops at our Mercy Spirituality Center. This Saturday, tomorrow, it will be Nightmares and Trauma Dreams. And then Visionary Dreaming on Sunday the 21st of June from 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. In addition, Margaret will facilitate an Introduction to Dream Work on the 1st and 2nd of August. Your experience is really on dreams, Margaret. What fascinates you regarding dreams?
Well, first of all, our dreams come from inside us. They bring up inner wisdom from our own unconscious processes. And everybody has dreams. Everybody dreams every night. That's well established. Some people have difficulty remembering. But every dream arises out of our own personal context and experience and speaks to us about our emotional concerns, what's going on in our lives. And they offer feedback to us, and they offer wisdom and challenge and warning and sometimes utter hilarious comment on what's going on.
So you say that everybody dreams at night. Some people remember, some others don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Are the dreams always at night, or daydreams, are they also considered as dreams? What is the definition of dreams?
That's a good question. Typically, dreams are described as experiences that happen at night when you're sleeping, but they can also happen when you're half asleep or dozing, so that you can have access to dreams at any time that you switch your mind off the concerns, the active concerns of the day. So what happens is that the imagery that's going on in the back of your mind comes forward into the present focus, and you become aware that you are being told a story or a picture or a piece of wisdom or something is coming for you to pay attention to. And usually when you actually experience the dream, it can involve much more than simply seeing something. You can hear things, you can touch them, you can feel them, you can taste them. All our senses can be involved. And people who, for example, are blind, they dream not so much in visionary terms, but in what they can hear speaking. So, and someone like Helen Keller, who was both blind and deaf, experienced a lot through the vibrationary experience of her feeling, her body.
That sounds very interesting. So you say the active concerns have to be switched off. So that means that during the day we are distracted by too many active concerns.
Yes. Part of our brain is specialized to pay attention to the problems that we have to solve every day in survival. And that part of our brain, which you could generally broadly categorize as left brain, gets mostly switched off during your sleeping. And we know from the magnetic resonance imaging of the brain that when you're in REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep, which is a particular phase that happens every night three or four times, that other parts of your brain are alert and alive and actively working, so that you have what could be called a right brain experience, which is much more artistic. Includes music, includes memory, includes personal awareness of what's going on for yourself, but cuts out the new immediate sensory experience that we have every day, so that your mind can pay attention to what's going on inside.
That sounds very interesting. And you said dreams and nightmares. That's the one. That's the workshop that is coming up tomorrow. And aren't dreams and nightmares normal for every now and then? Or how do you know if your dream is a warning or just a reflection of your day experience?
Well, it can be both, of course. Like a nightmare is classically defined as a dream that builds up to a climax of fear or horror, and at a point that you feel helpless, you don't know what to do, you can't see a way out, you feel trapped one way or another, the dream wakes you up because you're stuck. Now, most people are having had a nightmare, which can be very frightening, tried to forget it. But the opposite is what you need to do. You need to pay attention to it. What is it that you're scared of? And there will have been some trigger during the day that has reminded or tipped you into memory or a fear of something that might be going to happen, or something that has already happened, like a post-trauma experience. And so you need to think about it and resolve it and find a way to make yourself feel more safe. And in fact, working directly with nightmares, you can create new endings to the nightmare. Even if they never happened historically, they can break the pattern of the power of nightmares to disturb you deeply in your sleep. But you do have to think about them.
So if you think about them and you understand more about them, that would help you for the future, that you can cope better with your trauma.
Yes.
Bad nightmares.
Some people, having had a traumatic experience of violence, let's say in the home or at war or out in the streets or on the roads, it is horrifying to remember, and they try to dismiss it from their mind. But if you just simply try to dismiss it, it comes back to you in your sleep. It disturbs your sleep until you've actually talked it through, come to terms with what happened. Because when you're in the violent experience, you're not thinking about the story at all. You're just terribly afraid for your own survival, usually.
So that means that the dreams are like a symptom also.
It's like
when you feel pain on your any body part,
yes,
that it's a warning. You have to look after that part. And
that's
with a dream, it's a warning.
Yes.
Make sure that you...
Yes, exactly.
That you cope with your bad dream.
And children have quite a lot of nightmares because they're relatively powerless. They depend on their parent figures to look after them. Nightmares tell the parent figure this child is frightened of something. Even if they dream it in terms of a monster or an animal or whatever, try to find out what the child is so afraid of.
And the dreams play also a major role in our Bible.
Yes.
I just had to think of Pharaoh's dreams that Joseph interpreted, and in which God communicated to Joseph, the husband of Mary, and later the dreams that Herod's wife had just before the condemnation of Jesus. Some of these dreams were quite horrifying. Others were visionary.
Yes, well, the Bible is full of dreams all the way through from the beginning to the end. Like if you go into the book of Genesis, you have the powerful covenant dream that Abraham had, in which he dreamed that God, in the form of a torch of light, walked between the pieces of the sacrifice that he had laid out on the ground. And that dream, we're told it happened when he was in a state of thick darkness. He knew that God was making a covenant with him and confirming what he had heard in his dreams, that God was promising a land for him and his descendants. So Abraham knew that the covenant was sealed, and he knew it because of a dream. Now, if you think about that, the promise that all of Abraham's descendants would have land, there lies the origins of the conflict between the Arabs and the Jewish people in the Holy Land. The whole Middle East refers back to that dream because it's part of Muslim, Jewish, and Christian scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So that's only the first one. And then you've got the stories of Jacob and then his son Joseph in Egypt, who had the skill of interpretation.
Yeah.
I mean, that depends on understanding metaphor. Joseph obviously understood metaphor, and he was able to describe to Pharaoh what his dreams meant. Notice Pharaoh was not one of the Jews. Pharaoh was an Egyptian who was supposed to be an enemy, but God spoke to him through his dreams, and Joseph interpreted for him. And it goes on right through the Bible, right through all the prophets. Jesus, his visions in the desert of the encounters with Satan, they were, must be dream experiences if we believe that he was alone in the desert. and then we have Joseph and Mary, and we have the powerful dream visionary encounter of St. Paul on the road to Damascus, where things happened to Paul that the others could not see. It was inside his mind. We have the amazing dream of St. Peter on the roof at Joppa when he was dozing in the afternoon sunshine, and men knocked on the door and asked him to come and preach the gospel in a centurion's home. And he had just had this powerful dream about the unclean animals and birds being let down from heaven, and the voice of God telling him that he was not to call them unclean because God had called them clean. And so Peter understood that it was okay to take the gospel to the Gentiles. He had not understood that before. Now, how many people realize that the right of Gentiles to be part of the Christian faith is based on Peter's dream?
That's amazing. And as you said, even in the Bible, some dreams seem to be very obvious to the one who was dreaming them. And sometimes it you need other persons to interpret, like in the case with the Pharaoh and Joseph. He had a special gift to be able to interpret the dream because there were so many others who tried it before him and they failed. But in the new workshops, do you teach your participants to understand their own dreams or rather dreams of others?
Well, it's both, because when we're in a workshop, after I've covered the theoretical ground, I invite people to bring forward a dream from their own experience and I show them how to work with it. Now, I don't actually interpret for them. What I teach them is a process of questioning so that they inquire into the dream and the dreamer brings up the associations which are related to the images or story in the dream. And members of the group can help in the inquiry process. And when the dreamer is completely stuck, members of the group can make possible suggestions. And the dreamer chooses what fits and what doesn't fit. So nobody else can really interpret a dream for another person without consulting the dreamer.
And so it's very interactive.
It's very interactive. It must be interactive.
That's great. For those of you who have just tuned in, you are listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. And if you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz, Muffin Talk, or send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. My visitor today is Margaret Bowater. She is the facilitator of two upcoming workshop days, which will be held at the Mercy Spirituality Center on 24th of May and 21st of June. Margaret has told us about the meaning of dreams, that everyone dreams, but not everyone remembers the dreams, and that the dreams were a kind of warning, a symptom, and it was important to listen to the dreams, to take them seriously, and it is a way to deal with fear or horror, and she said they trigger the memories, and she also said that if in her workshops, the participants learn to work with their own dreams, and with the interaction of questions, certain questions that Margaret is asking or other participants are asking the person who has the dream, then you learn more about your dream and you learn how to cope with it. So, Margaret, if I understand that if you are very interactive, that means it's very confidential. So nobody speak afterwards about the dreams otherwise nobody would open themselves.
We make that commitment in the workshop, yes.
That's good. Your upcoming workshops cover nightmares, trauma dreams, and visionary dreams. Would nightmares traumatize us? What roles do they really have in our lives?
nightmares can traumatize us, because if they are post-trauma nightmares based on a traumatic experience that we've already had, the initial dreams after such an experience often repeat it pretty close to exactly what happened with the same feelings, so that you wake from a post-trauma dream feeling as if you've just been through the whole experience all over again. Now, in some cultures, they believe that everything you dream is going to come true, what is still to happen, mm-hmm. and they don't make the connection with what has already happened, mm-hmm. and that can end up, you know, scaring people witless, because they think that because they had this terrible dream, therefore it's going to happen, happen again, even if it has happened in the past, mm-hmm. whereas it's more like an earthquake. You have the shock of the main experience, and then you have the aftershocks. Your mind is still trying to come to terms with it. Now, there's a very interesting researcher by name of Harry Wilmer, a Jungian analyst, who in the 1980s went to work with the Vietnam veterans who were in the San Antonio Hospital in America. And he talked with over 300 men in that hospital whose minds were so disturbed that they could not hold a job. And he discovered to his astonishment that nobody had asked them about their combat experience, mm-hmm. or even about the dreams that they were having every night, being re-traumatized all the time. And so he did the research and he wrote it all up afterwards. And he described three kinds of dreams. They were all nightmares, of course. There was what he called a Category 1 nightmare, which was very close memory of the original experience. Absolutely horrifying and terrifying to the men, mm-hmm. Which they didn't want to talk about. But he encouraged them to talk about their experiences with one another. The others had been in the same sort of environment of combat, and so they knew what it felt like, and so they were able to open up to each other. Now, as they talked and began to release the pressure of the feelings inside themselves, then the Category 2 nightmare began to develop, which had less of the original exact events and more fantasy events, so that the natural process began to evolve from all feeling true to some of it true and some of it fantasy, mm-hmm. and the difference was that the men would wake up after such a Category 2 dream thinking, wow, am I glad that that didn't happen. Ooh. Now, he called that a healing nightmare, because it was on the way to relieving the tension of the original experience. Yes. And then as they continued to talk and come to terms with their experience and deal with the issues, then a third category appeared, which was much more simple memory of the event without the terrible disturbing feelings that had been with it, and more fantasy and more about their ordinary life experience, and he called that Category 3. Now, we can think about our own traumatic experiences in much the same sort of way, that originally they're unbearable. You need to talk about them with sympathetic people. And then gradually over time, as you begin to come to terms with the shock of it all and make a story out of it and realize that you have in fact survived, mm-hmm. then you begin to feel that you can get on with your life. And so the dreams reflect that change. Mm-hmm. And we have what we would call the more ordinary kind of nightmare, which has the fear in it, but also quite a lot of fantasy, mm-hmm. a lot more metaphorical images. Many people think that their dreams are just nonsense because they don't understand the principle of metaphor, but it's much more like poetry, really, or art, mm-hmm. where an image appears or a story is told which has an underlying meaning which is apparent eventually to the dreamer himself, herself, or the poet or the artist, but it's only the poet or the artist or the dreamer who actually understands the full thing because of their own experience.
Mm-hmm. That's why so many poets and artists wake up in the middle of the night, have an idea, and then start painting or writing.
That's right. It's been the basis of a huge amount of literature, painting. I mean, the story Frankenstein, for example, is based on a dream. There are hundreds of stories. There are story writers like Stephen King who write horror stories based on dreams. There are poets who have written directly out of their dream experience. There are scientists whose mm-hmm. theories have developed while they were pondering deeply and then dreamed about it.
You said earlier that the active concerns had to be switched off. So it's not only the concerns, but also the reason where you say, "Oh, this cannot happen." Mm-hmm. So if all this, what we learn, what is reasonable, is switched off, then the creative world will come up.
That's right. In rapid eye movement sleep, when you've got that inner screen going on behind your eyelids, inside your mind, we replay a much wider range of connection than we would normally think about, which means that we, out of our own experience, we bring up metaphors that may be relevant to understanding some current puzzle or problem going on in our mind.
Some people, they still think that dreams are just a sign of a disturbed mind and they should be dismissed. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's nonsense, isn't it? I mean, it is true that often our dreams do reflect disturbance in our mind, but that if it is adequately processed, that doesn't need to say that the whole mind is disturbed. Mind you, some people do look like that. but everybody dreams. We all dream from before we're born, actually, right through until we die. I have worked with a 94-year-old man who was still having nightmares. When we explored what the nightmares were about, we were able to connect them with disturbing experiences that he'd had when he was very young. but he didn't want to tell anybody about them, but the dreams brought them up until he did talk about them. And once he'd talked about them with his family, they were able to reassure him that those kind of things were not going to happen to him again, and he was able to die in peace. Like, it's all your life that dreams are speaking to you. We have this built in. It's a kind of, I regard it as a feedback mechanism built into us, a spiritual feedback mechanism inside us.
So understanding your dreams and talking about them can be a healing experience.
Absolutely, yes. Sometimes the dreams will give you direct answers, direct healing. Yes.
Yeah. Mm. And in your next workshops, Margaret, you have the workshops on dreams, nightmares and trauma dreams and visionary dreams. And so your goal, if I understand it, it's to help people understand their dreams and to live healthier.
Yes. I mean, if you think about it, the REM sleep occupies about a quarter of every night's sleep, and our sleep is about one third of our life experience, like 8 hours out of 24 is typically the sleep time. If you do the mathematics, that means we spend 1/12 of our life in REM sleep dreaming. Now, if evolution didn't need us to do that, we wouldn't be doing it. we actually need to be able to process stuff in our mind using a more creative approach than we normally do during the daytime so that we can live a richer kind of life. Enormous amounts of creativity arise directly out of dreaming, but also ordinary feedback about our life from a different perspective, a different angle. Like you look at yourself doing something in a dream. The central figure in the dream is usually yourself.
Yes.
We call that the dream ego. And there are other characters in the dream that give you some kind of feedback if you let them speak, which is what I encourage people to do in the workshops that I run.
That's great. And so you're also facilitating an introduction to dream work in August, 1st and 2nd of August. Do you have to participate in this kind of workshop first or have other preliminary experience in dream work in order to be able to participate in the other workshops?
The introductory workshop is designed for beginners, people who are beginning to explore what their dreams mean, and I provide quite a lot of background information there about the sleep and the history and the structure of dreaming and how to remember and a basic process, and we practice that in the workshop. The other workshops that I run, the nightmare workshop really requires you to have had at least an introduction to dreaming so that you are not, because I'm not going back over the basic theory. I'm assuming that you already have got that in by the time you come to a nightmare workshop, which requires a lot of sensitivity in handling nightmares. But I do run two other workshops, the Dreams of Death, Grief and Healing, which are the dream type visionary mainly, experiences around the time of death, or birth for that matter. I run that as another workshop, and I run a visionary dreaming workshop in which I look at the visionary dreams not only in our own Judeo-Christian faith, but also in other religious systems and political systems. I mean, we've all heard of Martin Luther King, whose speech, "I Have a Dream," is based on a biblical passage of Isaiah's dream. But Martin Luther King himself had a dream in the middle of the night, which reassured him that it was okay to keep doing what he was doing and taking the risk for his family. Like political movements, leaders of almost all the major movements in history have been inspired by their dreams or warned by them. And Abraham Lincoln is another example. 3 years before he died, three weeks before he died, he had a powerful dream that somebody had shot the president, and he realized that was him. And he recorded it in his diary. It's there.
Mm-hmm. But if you take the dreams too literally, you might be afraid of something that would never happen.
Yes, that is also true. So I think it's always wise, if you have that kind of dream, to talk it over with a friend and make sure that it, whether or not it could be a metaphor about yourself or about even about somebody else that you care about, it's wise to talk about these dreams and try to discern what are they trying to say to you. Some of them are metaphor and some of them are literal.
So Pharaoh did the right thing. He asked for others to interpret his dream.
That's right. But his wise men, being from the Egyptian culture, did not have the experience that Jewish people had from their scriptures of understanding that God speaks through dreams. Mm-hmm. It's another way of saying that the Jewish culture was able at that point to contribute something to the Egyptian culture.
I understand that you have started a dream network Aotearoa New Zealand. What is that?
We are about to launch the Dream Network Aotearoa New Zealand as a website and an organisation with the purpose of educating as many people as are interested in how to understand their dreams and how to begin to pay attention and work with them. I mean, even in your own family, the children will be having dreams and hoping that you can help them. Mm-hmm. And there are good practical things that you can do with children. In fact, with anybody. I mean, family members talking about their dreams can have some very good quality sharing experiences as a result of that.
Yeah. Okay, that's very motivating. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about the dream workshops and attending some of them. And thank you very much, Margaret, for your explanations on your workshops on the dreams. And for any further questions on this, on the retreats or the feedback on our Muffin Talks, please send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. Now, I'd like to draw your attention to some of our upcoming events in our Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. On Wednesday, the 11th of June, we have Demystifying the Dying Process with Jane Huggard. I will interview Jane next Friday at 8:40 here on Radio FM 104.6. Jane is working in the family support team at Mercy Hospice in Auckland. And she's also an honorary professional teaching fellow in the School of Nursing at the University of Auckland. I'm sure that she will give us a good introduction and about her workshop on demystifying in the dying process. Please tune in again next Friday or check out the website at www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk. And then on Friday, 13th of June, we have Alexander Shire coming to our center. The title of his talk is Empowering Christ Within Us. Alexander is the author of 3 books, including the book Heart and Mind, The Full Gospel Journey for Radical Transformation. He will give the talk at our Mercy Spirituality Center on Friday, 13th of June, in the evening from 7 to 9 p.m. And, of course, Margaret Bellwater on 24th of May, Nightmares and Trauma Dreams, and Saturday, 21st of June, visionary dreaming from 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. If you're interested in the workshops, please register at our Mercy Spirituality Center at www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz or give us a ring at in Auckland 09-638-6238. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you, Margaret, for having come to the center,
thank you.
The program here and our radio show.
Thank you.
And I look forward to hearing more from you about the dreams. It's very fascinating. It's dreams come true, hopefully.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to having another visitor next week. And please tune in again Friday, 8:40 a.m.